You're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. To the journey.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this week's edition of To the Journey.
To the journey.
To the journey. I'm Charlene Schmidt, and with me today is
Tristan Riddell and
Lori Sears.
This week falls on a very special day as far as our release date goes, because it is Valentine's Day. Aww.
And watch out for Space Cupid.
He's ready to strike at any moment. So, to commemorate the occasion, we thought it would be ultra cute if we discussed romance and hot sexy love for this week's To the Journey.
You forgot to call it space love.
Space love. Hot sexy space love.
There you go.
Okay.
Wowzers. Do we get it?
Yeah. So we're going to talk about the good and the bad and the ugly of relationships that we saw, the ones that we wish would have happened, and the pairings with the aliens of the week that we wish would have stayed on board. That's going to be a lot to cover, so let's dig in. Okay, since this is kind of a fun episode, let's start with the good, though. Let's talk about the episodes we liked. Lori, what do you think about the good pairings on Voyager? Who succeeded, and who did you like?
Well, definitely Tom and B'Elanna were the best couple, I think. They were really the only couple that made any sense, to be honest.
They are definitely the best, hands down, yeah.
They really, yeah, truly are.
Yeah, I don't know. There were so many wannabes, like you said, and it looked like there were so many one-sided couples, but Tom and B'Elanna really made the most sense. They kind of balanced each other out with his crazy and her bad temper.
They did. They leveled. What I really like about Tom and B'Elanna is they actually made a relationship on Star Trek and built it to last.
Mm-hmm.
They dealt with real issues and they had real problems. They had highs and their lows. And we got to see a lot of it throughout the series. They didn't seem to ignore parts of a real relationship as we've seen in the past. And they actually talked about their feelings. Weird.
And they took the time to develop it.
Yes.
It didn't come out of nowhere. It wasn't a, what? Why? It was a, oh, okay. Like, you saw the initial attraction, you saw the flirtation, you saw the struggle, and then you saw the surrender, and then the relationship. It was fantastic. It was, I mean, it's a lot of people, when people think relationship in Star Trek, they think Riker and Troy. But they had a pre-existing relationship beforehand. We never got to see the origins, but with Tom and B'Elanna, we did. We got to see the origin and the culmination of their marriage with having a child together. It's
full circle.
Yeah, we never got that before.
This is absolutely true. I feel like it's the most realistic of any relationship we've seen on Star Trek.
I mean, we had O'Brien and Keiko, but we didn't really see the beginnings of that relationship. It was just like, boom, they're going to get married. And let's have that be a backdrop for, I think, Data's Day. I think that's the episode.
That's basically what it was. All it was.
Yeah. And I feel like up to this point, even, we hadn't seen very realistic couples. We had Troy and Riker who were kind of, I don't know, I just felt like they were sort of on again, off again on the show.
Exactly.
Like, we didn't really know what they were doing. They just kind of did what they wanted. And ultimately, they did finally get married and did their thing. We had Picard and Crusher who, that's kind of how I want to describe it. Was
like, that wasn't really a relationship. That was a proximity flirtation. I mean,
it was really hard to tell what that was. And okay, DS9 had really good relationships, but it wasn't even until the very end that you had Odo and Kira and Bashir and Dax.
That's true. That's true. I forgot about Odo and Kira. I mean, although there's a lot of people who dislike that relationship that feels like it kind of, I don't know, cut Odo's legs off is what a lot of people think.
Oh, really?
But he was after her from the beginning. I mean, God, he was like Mr. Lovesick Puppy from the beginning.
For a while, he was the master of unrequited love.
He really was. He really was. He just was so sad.
Ugh. I guess the difference that we got with Tom and B'Elanna was, even though she was half alien, we had a little bit more realistic relationship fights that, you know, Char, that you were talking about with Odo and Kira. It's like, oh, my people are going to get invaded by the Founders, and you linked with that one woman, you know, and everything like that. You just couldn't really relate to it, but with Tom not spending enough time with B'Elanna and hiding mm-hmm. in the holodeck and everything like that, we can understand that as humans a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Like having a human and a half human is a little bit easier than a Bajoran and a shapeshifter.
A little bit. Plus, yeah. These are very well suited characters for one another. I agree with what you said, Lori. Tom is there to cool out B'Elanna when she is letting her temper just go off the charts. But, mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I was actually very surprised at how good of a girlfriend and wife B'Elanna was to Tom. I never would have predicted these two getting together in the beginning.
Do you remember Memorial? Like, that's when I, like, I was watching it with my parents because I was that young when it came on. And, and it was the episode where she got him a TV.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. My mom turned to me and said, B'Elanna's being really nice. Something's wrong.
Something's wrong.
What did do, huh?
Is this really B'Elanna? Or is this an alien counterpart and shapeshifter or something? Yeah.
Oh, like, my gosh.
It was just so funny. I was like, no, I mean, they're growing. I mean, she's being a nice girlfriend, you know, and everything like that.
Right. Well, and you know what? If anything, Tom was, in many instances, a bad boyfriend.
He really was. He was terrible to her. He'd go off and work on that car and ignore her.
One episode of ignoring her.
Where he plays mechanic with his little body-snatching friend.
Yeah. Or he's in the bar playing pool.
Yeah, or in Drive. There was that whole thing where she planned that really romantic weekend on the holodeck. She'd switch shifts with everybody. And then he wants to go off and play NASCAR in space.
Well, mm-hmm. I think he made it up to her because they got married.
Yeah. I was going to say he proposed to her.
You finished my thought there. Yeah. Granted, he did the right thing in the end. I give him a lot of credit for that. But at first, all he's doing is thinking about his own little world and what he wants, what Tommy wants. And he had no idea what lengths she had gone to plan a really nice weekend for him. And then she sacrificed that. Thank goodness things ended up the way they did, though. But that's what I like about this couple, though, is, you know, they have those points. They're of friction. They've got the ups and the downs. We saw it all. That's what real couples do. That's what happens.
He did try to sneak her fried chicken when she was pregnant one time.
Oh,
which
he did.
I think is a that's right. Like a good thing.
Yeah.
That was kind.
I thought that was very kind. Surprised her on her shift. And it was really the doctor, unbeknownst to him.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I thought was a perfect moment because he kissed the doctor and he didn't even know
he
it.
Did. He did. Awesome.
That's the most action that the doc got in a long time.
Yeah, poor guy. I think it had been a while for him, hadn't it?
Yeah.
You're right. Oh my gosh. So, okay, that's obviously the best example of a good relationship. Were there any other good relationships we ought to talk about, or should
Neelix and Kes?
You consider that a good one, huh?
I think so. Yes. No. I think it. I mean, it had its odd moments because these are both, you know, alien species that are foreign to us, and I feel like they had their own thing. I mean, she had the illusion thing going on. She had the only lives for 9 years thing, and but I mean, I liked seeing a relationship end. But yet the people are still there. That also didn't happen too often in
this
Star
is
Trek.
True.
Because when Worf and Troi hooked up, we didn't see the ending of that relationship.
No, we sure didn't.
Like O'Brien and Keiko didn't call things off. Like you said, Riker and Troi were kind of like on and off again. They never really were official or unofficial. Well, Dax died. And so that doesn't count as still being around, except she was in another form.
Well, right. Yeah, there was that whole thing with Ezri and Worf trying to figure things out and realizing, no, this isn't working.
That was weird.
We did see T'Pol and Trip kind of hook up, and then, but it wasn't really a relationship. It was just like a one night stand, and I don't know. See, like,
that's okay. That's the way romance typically happens on Star Trek, is one night stands with the alien of the week. I mean, Captain Kirk got that ball rolling.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Now, granted, there was Sisko and Cassidy Yates, but even they were kind of...
True. Yeah. Actually, no.
She got sent off to prison, though, for a while.
Yeah.
No, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think people are probably screaming in their cars right now listening to this podcast.
They might
when
be.
I said we never really got to see the origins and culmination of a relationship before, but we did with Sisko and Cassidy. Although, wait. DS9 and Voyager were on at the same time, so I wonder which one happened first.
You know,
Cassidy or B'Elanna.
Sisko and Cassidy, I think, were involved first, but really getting into like a I don't know, maybe they're pretty even. Oh man, that's a tough one. I'm sure there's somebody out there who can scream at us and write us nasty hate mail. Go to trek.fm/contact.
With Neelix and Kes, I mean, I thought it was a weird relationship, and it was really kind of a savior complex, where he is the only reason why she is alive, and so she felt the need to be with him, but then after a while, she kind of grew beyond him, which happens in real life, and so I appreciated that. I really did.
Okay, you make a good point.
And did they really break up? Because wasn't that Warlord episode when she was, like, possessed by that guy?
No.
So like, really, was it her?
In that episode, she said, no, that really was me. Like, that wasn't that presence. It really was me. I need my space. And Neelix is not about space.
No.
No, not at all. Space?
No,
what's
he
that?
Likes to smother everybody. But, okay, Tristan, you made a really good point about Neelix and Kes. I mean, she was incredibly young. And I think, you know, think about, like, a 16, 18-year-old girl with an older guy, usually there's some sort of an issue there where he's protecting her, which is what Neelix was doing. And so she kind of fell for him in appreciation of that, I guess. But you know what? That relationship always kind of felt weird to me on screen. I felt uncomfortable watching it because she was so young, and just made him feel kind of like a dirty old man. And so I was actually really glad when they broke up, but then the whole thing about them breaking up, it was cool because we don't typically see them stay aboard, like you said, on the same ship and live their own lives separately.
I have an update here. Okay, so Cassidy was introduced in 95.
Okay.
And B'Elanna told Tom that she loved him in 97.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
So,
but I don't know when, I cannot pinpoint when Cassidy and Sisko got serious.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing in question, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure.
That is what you need to know.
I'm sure someone will tell us off before the next week. Words. We have our forums now, where it's just perfect material for something about like this, where we can discuss this at length, I'm sure.
Well, I think if memory serves, she talked about moving to the station in the episode Indiscretion, and like, you know, the whole like, oh, it's a big step, like that
okay.
whole episode.
What
and
that
was in
that
was in 95 as well. That was,
oh, was
like she was introduced in season 3, but I think they moved in season 4, which was the same year. So
okay.
So it looks like they got them beat.
Fine. DS9 wins. Good for you.
Good for DS9.
Well, la-ti-da. We still like Tom and B'Elanna.
So that's my opinion about the two good good relationships.
Okay.
On Voyager.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So bad relationships. I can think of one right off the top of my head.
I think we can all guess what you're thinking.
Go right ahead and say it.
Our lovely Borg and the first officer. What the hell was that?
Yeah, kind of a mismatch there.
Gross,
that was
gross,
lack of
gross.
Options.
No,
lack
you know what
options.
That was? It was freaking Robert Beltran daring Brandon Braga to give him a romance with 7 of 9 before the end of the show.
Piss poor writing is what it was.
Yeah.
Brandon Braga, you really did not have to take him up on that one, okay?
if someone is listening to this right now and has access to Twitter, call Brennan Braga out this instant.
Yes, let's harass Brennan Braga more about things we didn't like about Voyager.
Exactly.
Yeah. He would
love appreciate
it.
That so yeah. much.
Let's not praise him for what he got right. No. Let's condemn him for what he got wrong.
Exactly. And while you're at it, bash him a little more for Threshold, would you?
Let's. Aww. Yes. Like, P.S. Bless Threshold him. Sucked. It's just the knife and twist it. So that's an obvious one. I mean, what yeah. can be said that hasn't already been said?
Yeah, I know. You know? No, although I will say on the forums, you guys, there's a user called Digific Writer who made a good case as to why he thought the Chakotay and Seven thing worked.
What?
I know.
Really?
I know. Hey, you know what, guys? Go on the forums and read it for yourself. I don't want to have to explain this for him. He can defend himself. Or her. Whichever.
Have to do that.
Made a decent enough case to where I bought it. I still disagree wholeheartedly. Because I find that couple just vomits.
Repulsive? Yes.
Yes. Ugh. I can't go for it. But, you know, there is a very, very small minority who think that that was okay. Which I'm just not one of them. So that's a pretty obvious one. I mean, Harry, I think, would have been a better match for Seven.
Or the Doctor. Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's a couple I wanted to see happen was Harry and the Doctor. Yes, in preparation for this podcast, I rewatched Someone to Watch Over Me. And, what a heartbreaker.
No, I'm in complete disagreement with you guys. Completely disagree.
Really? Okay, why not?
I thought that made a much better unrequited love story. Than an actual love story.
He was the perfect match for her of anybody.
There's so many times, like we've seen it hundreds of times in so many sitcoms, and we've seen it in so many comedies and dramas, where it's the will they or won't they, and they started in season one, and then they finally culminate it with a wedding or a kiss, and the fans are just happy. And I would have been severely pissed off if they did it, because sometimes you just don't. You don't get it. It doesn't work. Sometimes you don't get the girl, and we have the oddest pairing of a Borg and a hologram, and I'm glad that it didn't work because they were the perfect match.
Oh, you make such a good case, and I hate you for it.
I don't know. I still can't go. I mean, I still think they were great.
I think they would have been
a great couple.
I would have wanted to have seen them fumble around with the idea and then realize... Mm-mm. Or like Seven breaks it off, but the Doctor still loves her or something like that. I mean, they
and then he just jumps into her body again
and eats cheesecake. Yeah, sure, why not?
Yes.
Let's make it even weirder.
Yeah, let's make it weird and digital rapey vibe, you know, like let's just
no.
Gross.
no rape.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's this is what you're asking for, and I'm just warning you where they would have gone.
No.
I thought holographic Chakotay and Seven were much better together than...
Okay, I will agree with you on that. Holographic Chakotay, I mean, for as horrible of one-liners as he had, okay.
Just feel the music. Don't just play. Feel the music.
He was just lecherous and creepy to me. So yeah, they could have gotten together.
Well, why is it that that works... But real life Chakotay and Seven doesn't. Why is that?
I'll let you take that one.
Thanks. I think it's because of where they are emotionally. I can understand why Seven would gravitate towards someone like Chakotay, because he's honestly a very accessible, stable figure. And I can see why she would find that appealing. But emotionally... She is basically a teenager, and like in Human Error, she's practicing dating, basically. and he is a grown man who's had a few romances in his day. Emotionally, he should be on a completely different level from her, should recognize that and realize this is not a good idea. That's why.
Okay. Okay. I got you. I got you. So from the perspective of Chakotay... Like, this person is too emotionally underdeveloped to establish a relationship. But if you just take the qualities of Chakotay and put them in a new form, then it would work. Hey, that's pretty good.
There you go.
I guess.
Boom, roasted.
Boom, roasted. Okay, so other than the obvious Chakotay and Seven, were there any other relationships that happened that were just like, wah?
Oh, gosh. The whole thing with Harry and Seven, I talked about this on the forums a little bit, too, where, you know, Harry, of course, is an awkward SOB, the poor guy. He just, bless his heart, as you would say, Lori. He got nothing in the social graces department. It always felt like, you know, he was like really pining for her, had the biggest crush, and he's so incredibly awkward. And then, you know, they share a few kisses here and there in these weird scenarios that they get put into because it's Voyager. and that just,
He turned her down for sex. She said, take off your clothes. And he said, no, thank you to Jerry Ryan.
A fool.
Lost all sympathy for him there.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. Like,
I don't care if it was for love or for science. It doesn't matter.
Do what you have to do, homie.
Do what you have to do.
I guess he was saving himself.
How much more direct do you want? Because Harry, I mean, he is such a... What is the opposite of an enabler?
Disabler?
That's...
Technically, that's the word.
That's as awkward of a word as what Harry was doing in relationships most of the time. Like, in Non Sequitur, even. He's in the alternate universe back with Libby, and he's like, I really want to sleep with you, and I might make out with you for a while, but I'm not supposed to be here, and I really ought to get back to my timeline, because this ain't right.
I think he's just dumb. That's just dumb.
Poor, dumb Harry.
Pretty much.
TDH, yeah. And yet he refuses a direct offer of sex from Seven of Nine. He has impeded other people's romantic pursuits. That creepy dude in Prime Factors, you know, the fish head around him, who's trying to come onto Janeway. They're about to share this kiss, and Harry's like, Captain, guess what? They've got space-folding technology. We can get home. And he walked in on this moment like, really, dude, you couldn't see what was going on here. Let her have a freaking moment.
No,
although he's
no,
a total creeper.
I am so happy that moment didn't take place. Are you really kidding
glad
me?
I'm with you, Tristan. Totally gross.
He's like,
gross,
this is not at
gross.
All pleasurable.
you know what would be pleasurable for me is a kick to that dude's groin.
Exactly. Or his fish head.
Yeah. There's a lot of creepers.
Do you guys remember the alternate future of Kes and Tom? What did you guys think of that?
Oh, yeah.
I like them as a couple.
I did, too.
They were a good match, too. Really.
Yeah. I really disliked the whole thing where Neelix got really jealous over Tom Paris, and then they ended it with the spaghetti fight. but in Before and After, which is what you're talking about, right, Tristan? Where
yes,
they
I
end
am.
Up having a child and all that. I thought that was
out of her back. It's just so weird. I can see the toes.
Yeah, why does the child grow there? But then again, we talked about this last week. The whole reproductive aspect of a comp in life is totally messed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why not? It might as well grow out of her head. I don't know.
Awesome. like Zeus and Athena.
Yeah. Why All not? Right. They might as well. They might as well be like, she and Tom might as well have been bonded at the head, and then there's like this giant weird gooey sack coming out of both of their heads growing the child.
See, I'm just imagining Tom and Kes doing that hand thing, you know, where they have to lock
you do
hands.
The finger?
Oh, God, the mustard row?
Oh, Yeah,
they have to like lock hands for what, like 3 days or something like that? And I can
something
just see
ridiculous.
Tom like asking like, can we watch TV during this? Or what do we do?
I could see him doing that.
Now, that would be a sitcom moment where he's trying to find the remote and just hit it with his toes.
That's right.
Right. Only he wouldn't have the TV because B'Elanna built him the TV.
B'Elanna?
Right.
That's right. No.
The chicken and the egg, Riker. The chicken and the egg.
That's that's right.
All right.
We have to go back to the Devron system. Okay. So, I really liked Tom and Kes, and I did like the whole tease of him being a possible romantic prospect. You know, did he want to be more than a friend to her? Because he was kind of known as a playboy in those early days. And then the whole Neelix jealousy thing really just grated on me. And then I hated it all. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So, okay. Do we want to talk about any kind of relationships that we wanted to see happen? We kind of did with Doc and Seven.
Yeah,
yeah,
and also
we did. We touched
with
on that.
Tom and Kes. So I think we should. I think we should move on to the aliens of the week.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think we're missing one very big one, though. Pairings that we wanted, or that certainly many people wanted, that we did not get, and it was hinted at so many times. Duh. We've got to talk about Janeway and Chakotay. Okay.
I don't know. Even though it's Valentine's Day, I don't know. I don't know if we can tackle this in this episode.
Why?
Because it's the amount of fanfic and fan videos that have been made
is infinite.
We talked about it in the Janeway episode, the Chakotay episode. We talked about building a bath. I mean, we could talk about it now real quick.
Well,
I mean,
we should also talk about the monkey, of course.
Absolutely, we should talk about the monkey.
There you
go. Got between them on New Earth, yeah.
Now you're interested, Tristan.
Yeah, exactly.
The monkey.
Always.
Yeah, I think the monkey had it in it for Coco and was really after Kathy.
I'd say it's probably the biggest relationship that anybody has ever wanted, even more so than Riker and Troy, because at least they had a history and they, you know, everybody knew that they belonged together and that it would happen, and it did. Yeah. But with Chakotay and Seven, I mean, I'm sorry, excuse me. Whew, with
Chakotay, that was ugly.
With Chakotay and Janeway,
don't make us beat you.
Yeah, we didn't get it, and we never will. And
except in the novels.
Except in the novels.
Lest us not forget the eternal tide. Thank you, Kirsten Beyer, for making things right in the universe. Okay.
Yes.
Because, yeah. All right, way back in the day in the 90s when Voyager was first airing, yeah, I was a part of that whole fandom, the whole Janeway Chakotay in 96 campaign. I mean, I was totally into it. I read the fanfic. What else did I have to do? I was 14. I was writing this stuff myself.
I was going to say, you probably wrote some.
I did write some fanfic. Thank you very much.
You need to find that stuff.
It's in my parents' attic somewhere, and I'm sure it's horrible. But I did write a couple of stories a couple of years ago that are published. You just have to find them. Anyway.
Really?
Yeah, they're not that great. Anyway, Tristan, I don't think I've seen you roll your eyes that much. Wow.
Whenever we talk about fanfic or fan vids, there's going to be a lot of eye rolling. But I do want to ask the question, okay, yeah, everybody wanted it. What would we have done if we got it? Where would we have gone? What would have happened? What would have been... How would the professional relationship gone?
Yeah, here's the thing. Okay, I had, and still to this day do not have any faith in the writer's ability to write this relationship properly. Which
No.
Without putting words in Kate Mulgrew's mouth, I think she was perceptive to that and realized it was going to make her look bad and her character look bad. Let's not do this.
Okay, I heard somebody mention that the other day, that Kate Mulgrew was against it. Do you guys know more about that? Because I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, she really, really, really had to put her foot down. You know, she went into the writer's room more than once and said, absolutely not, I will not encourage this anymore because I do not want it to happen. And if you go on YouTube, I mean, at conventions, she gets asked this question all the time. She goes into a lot of detail about it, and... Lori, is there anything you want to add? Because you know as much as I do.
You pretty much covered it. I mean, I think what you said about the writers, I would be the same way.
What was her reasoning, though? Like, what was her...
She just said that she thought it would be very... Like, what did she say the last time? She thought, who would run the ship? Because Janeway's such a passionate person, she'd be in the ready room, come to my ready room, Commander, all the time, and wouldn't be out there to do her job, which, that's crap.
Well,
I mean, come on.
Yeah,
whatever.
That aspect I disagree with. I think had they written it properly, she would have achieved some kind of a balance between her personal and professional life. I think Kate Mulgrew's big thing was no one wants to see... Unfortunately, the female captain.
The demographic.
The whole demographic thing. The main demographic for Voyager was believed to be men 18 to 30 years of age. And so did they want to see a woman almost the age of their mothers making out with the first officer? No, they did not.
But then we found, what was it, Trek BBS that we found that said that really that wasn't the demographic of Voyager. Like, they thought it really was more female fans.
There were way more females watching Voyager than any other Trek.
So
they kind of had this wrong. But that you know, the UPN suits were saying, well, we want to target males because they're the biggest market. Hence 7 of 9.
There you go. Yeah, I was about to say.
Which they are. And Voyager almost Voyager almost died until they brought 7 of 9 on. So.
It was on shaky ground. And of course, behind the scenes, there were a lot of issues with that, which we'll have to devote to another show.
Absolutely.
But anyway, discussion.
Okay, so those were the reasons. Now, I honestly don't think we should have seen the romance played out on the screen. I think it would have gotten very humdrum and tired. We wouldn't have appreciated it for all the angst that came before it. It's sort of like when Mulder and Scully got together on the X-Files. Suddenly the magic is gone. It happens all the time in TV. I get it. Let's not do that. You know what needed to happen, though?
There was a lot of reasons there.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry. You can't mention the X-Files without me giving my 2 cents.
Okay, well,
there was a lot of reasons why the magic went out the window when that happened.
When we do an X-Files podcast, we'll let you vent about all that. Because there were, as you say, many feelings about that.
Yes.
I'm totally with you. Okay, but anyway, as far as this goes, what we needed to see, because they flirted with the idea, they saw the chemistry happen on screen, made a little something of it, and kind of gave us the will they or won't they. What they had to do was confront it.
That's right. You wanted an adult discussion.
Yeah, thank you. When two people are attracted to one another and there's some sort of a hot issue at hand, which for Janeway would be, okay, I kind of have to get us home and I really don't have the time to invest in a personal relationship. That would be her argument. Fine, sit down and talk about it like adults and show us resolving it. That's what I wanted.
Do you think that a one-night stand would suffice where they kind of gave into their passion, then Janeway said, sorry, this can't happen again, like, and this is the reason why? Do you think that would have worked and sufficed?
No, too awkward. No. They didn't even need to go that far.
Mm-mm. That would have been sad, too. I mean, just leave it with the build-up and then leave it alone.
And we kind of got that with the monkey episode.
And then talk about it. The monkey. No.
We did kind of get that with the monkey episode.
Well, you know
what?
They might have slept with each other on New Earth. I don't know. It's all up to our imaginations.
The monkey knows the truth.
Only the monkey knows.
That's why they left the house, because it was the house of shame.
Oh.
The house of ill repute.
There you go. That's better.
I love it.
Wowzers.
Okay. Well, all right. Now that we've covered the elephant in the room here, or the monkey in the room, if you will, let's move on to the alien of the week romances that we wish would have happened. Tristan, do you have one?
I think you guys know what I want to say.
Tell us anyway.
About a relationship that should have happened and should have been long lasting, and that was true love, and true love in its purest form. And that was the Fairhaven romance.
Oh, I should have guessed.
Yeah,
oh,
we should have known better. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
It was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. Okay.
No, because she had to modify him.
No, she stopped.
She did.
She stopped modifying him. And she learned her lesson. And it was just, they were perfect for each other. And it's exactly what she needed. She needed to get some. She needed some companionship, and she couldn't get with Chakotay. So she did an Irish Chakotay replacement.
Okay, that I can go with.
There you go.
I can go with that.
Yeah, I loved it. I wanted my third Fairhaven episode. That's what I wanted.
No, honestly, I think I could have done without the whole Fairhaven thing, but if they wanted to keep her involved with Michael Sullivan, show her finishing up a date or something. But let's stay out of the village and all of that.
Yes, that is a good point. I like that idea, is where we don't need to see the whole village. The whole episode doesn't need to be about Fairhaven, but let's address them. And I know you're about to say, well, they did in the novels. because they did.
yes, okay.
Didn't she, end up deleting him or something? Like, she said goodbye and then deleted the program altogether
Starfleet. I haven't read this.
Like, once they got home, Starfleet would have to analyze the computers, and they would find her personal records with him there. So I think, I would have, saved him in, one of those Moriarty cubes for later. You know? There you go, right? For a rainy day.
Yeah. Okay.
Rainy day.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Rainy day in Fairhaven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So yeah, that is my alien of the week that I wish stayed.
Okay. Any others?
Well, you have what's her name? With Chakotay, where she couldn't remember
the blonde chick.
Yeah. Yeah. What's her name? My what dad was her name? Loves her.
Virginia Madsen. Virginia, but I don't remember what her.
Yes. Virginia
Madsen.
That I don't remember her character.
That wasn't a very good episode.
Riley Frazier.
That's the other. That her name is Kellen. That Riley Frazier was that Borg chick.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait. Oh, right.
A different blonde.
He
entirely.
Had a thing for blondes.
Well, yeah.
That's what it was.
But obviously they weren't built to last. I don't know if I'd want to see any more of that.
Well, Seska wasn't blonde.
That's true. That's true. That's true.
Actually, do we even know what Seska really was? I mean, oh, I guess it would have been black hair. I mean,
you know,
yeah, black Cardassian hair.
Who knows what she really was?
And in the novels, they got together.
Chakotay and Seska?
Yeah, don't you remember
they
that?
Did?
Like in Pathways, like she.
Oh, that is true.
Like
wow.
they made it all ominous. Gosh. And weird, where like she was her his contact to the Maquis or something like that.
I'd forgotten about that.
And
thank
like
you.
He sees this statuesque figure singing, and then they got together and make love, and and then that's all she wrote.
Wow, what a drop off right there. Did they make love? And that's
and
it.
And
no,
wow.
Seriously, go and read Pathways and you will see how abrupt it was. And it was just like, oh, I saw this beautiful woman. We had sex. Next chapter. It was it's like, that's what it was.
It was very
the
choppy
end.
Writing. No. That I'd forgotten about that. Thank you for the reminder.
This needs
right.
to become a drinking game. This is the first TTJ drinking game. Whenever we mention Pathways or Mosaic, you take a drink. So, but like other than that, I mean, there was the pseudo romance with Harry and the blue alien that was really a member of the crew.
Oh, that Lindsay Ballard.
Lindsay
that
Ballard, that's
oh,
right.
Yeah,
okay, thank
she,
you.
Yeah, when you said blue, I was like, oh, she's purple, but that's the eye of the beholder, whatever.
Thank you. It was on the tip of my tongue. I just couldn't think of it. Yeah, you know that would have been okay. I could
that
have
was cute.
Rolled with that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I liked the two of them together. They were all palsy and happy.
It's a friendship I would have liked to have seen its origins of.
Yeah.
Yes.
When they were at the academy, that would have been cute.
That would have
been nice.
Way cute. Yeah.
Oh, see, mm-hmm. you're right, Lynn. You're right, Lori. I almost called you Lindsay. you're so right. She is not blue at all. She's purple.
Yeah. That's all right.
Okay.
She's indigo.
Indigo.
There you go. Okay. You know, if Michael Sullivan hadn't worked out, you know who I would have wanted to have seen Janeway end up with?
You're the that Jaffin guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I would have, you know, Jaffin was kind of like Mark in that he was kind of a safe, grounded person for Catherine to come home to.
Boring.
At night.
Jaffin. who is Jaffin?
From Workforce.
Oh, come on.
Boring. Boring.
That
oh,
is probably
guys.
The worst two-parter in Star Trek history.
No.
That is
take
half
that back.
No, that is half an episode stretched into two. Those two episodes had the Flotter storyline had more content than Workforce.
Oh, no. See, you're wrong there. I cannot agree with you. It was a good story. And it was a little long, and there were some slow points, but...
Yeah, but...
No, but it was a good story.
No, it's like Brokeback Mountain. It was a 5-minute short story that was stretched into 2 hours.
Facepalm.
That's right. I compared Workforce to Brokeback Mountain just now.
You have made me speechless.
Oh, no. Crazy.
I quit
no
the
way.
Show. I can't do this anymore. Oh my god, you don't. Oh man, I don't mind Workforce at all. Well,
I like
screw
workforce.
You guys. I'm going home.
No, I like Workforce. I like it. I'm with you.
You know,
but Jeffin is boring. He's so boring.
You know what, though? I mean, that's kind of what Janeway would need on Voyager.
Why?
She would need the more. I hate to put it this way, but kind of like submissive dude who'd be happy to basically stay at home and have dinner ready for her.
No. What kind of a boring guy would that be? She needs somebody to challenge her. Be like, no, you can't tell me what to do. No, you're not always right.
Well, that was that's what Chakotay was for.
But he never was that way.
Well, the thing was that she basically didn't really care what he said, and she said, well, I'm doing what I want anyway.
So he kind of gave up after a while.
Well, do you blame him?
No, but I think that would be the... That's still not the kind of guy she needs. She needs somebody tough.
Yeah, okay. Yo!
Oh, I'm sorry. Are we still talking about workforce?
No, we're done. Jerks.
Okay, I can see an argument for Jaffin. I can see it. I don't agree with it.
No, you liar.
But I can see it. I have such irrational hatred towards workforce that I just have to say no.
You shouldn't let that cloud your judgment of Jaffin. But anyway, let's move on. Are there any more that we need to discuss before we wrap up?
I say if we forgot any, people should talk about it in the forums.
I think they should.
Okay, that's a really good idea. Go to the forums and talk about it. It's trek.fm/forums. Or you can write us. Still feel free to write us. trek.fm/contact, and then select To the Journey, and that goes to us. We'll reply to you. We got to mention some reviews, because we've gotten two more over the last week, which is totally awesome. Yeah, we're raking them in. It's great. So I want to give a shout out to Cricket74 for your beautiful 5-star review on iTunes, and also to CaptainPhil47 for your review as well. And nice. Thanks to those two for helping us out on iTunes. And then, you know, of course, for everybody that we've been interacting with, I mean, it's really growing, this community. I think it's awesome, whether it's the forums, email, Twitter, iTunes. We appreciate you taking the time to talk with us, give us feedback. It's been a lot of fun. Next week, we're going to have a face-off. Are you ready for this, guys?
I'm excited.
I am too, actually. Definitely. This comes as a suggestion from one of our listeners. We're going to talk about Kes versus Seven of Nine, and should Kes have stayed? This is a topic submitted by Chris Cates, and we're going to discuss the merits of Kes, the merits of Seven. Should they have both been on the ship at the same time? Did one of them have to go? Who should have been sacrificed instead? We'll talk about the whole behind-the-scenes thing, which...
Yes.
Yeah,
we have to talk about the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Just in case you don't already know, we'll discuss the behind-the-scenes drama that enacted this whole thing in the first place. It should be a fantastic time. But for the time being, guys, we've got to get going here. I think we've definitely had a nice little discussion on romance. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm late for my date, so we better get going.
Oh.
So, you guys, for this week, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey.
To the Journey.